Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got the awesome drummer, Paul Crosby. You might know him from the band Saliva. Remember that song, Click, Click, Boom? Yeah, that's him jamming on that one. And he's got a brand new band these days with his sons called Cold Words. A brand new EP is on the way and a brand new single out. Got to talk about that and so much more. So here he is. Here's Paul Crosby.
Well, I know you're excited for this new album. Well, it's an EP, right? You got a new EP coming out. When's that coming out?
Well, we just released the first single on August 11th, Bad News. We're going to release 3 to 4 singles periodically. So the full EP will probably launch in the spring of 2024 because we're going to spread out the single releases and then drop the full EP. And the EP is also going to be called Bad News as well.
Tell me this, though. You know, a lot of times people, you know, will release EPs or singles. Is it better to release singles as opposed to like a full album? Because I think a lot of times they say you're really wasting a lot of songs if you don't release them like as a single at a time, maybe. I don't know. Is that better to do an EP like that?
These days, yes, and for several reasons. Obviously, you still want to, I think it's still best to eventually have them merge onto an EP or a full album. But I think if you're going to release a full album or an EP and you do it all at once, some of the songs don't get their time. So if you release them as a single, this EP is going to have 5 songs. So if we release 4 singles and then on the 5th one, we release the EP, all of those streams collectively go to the EP. It also helps with the algorithms on Spotify and Apple Music and all of that good stuff. So, you know, the music industry is a lot different than it was when, you know, I was younger. You just went and bought an album and you played it to death front to back until you got tired of it.
Right.
But it's different now, and you kind of, you know, you got to kind of work with the new way. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not really a huge fan of the new way, but if you're going to play the game and, you know, you want to try to get each song exposed to as many people as possible, you kind of have to do it that way, or you're just doing it for a hobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm the same way. I like the old days when you go to a record store and you have, you know, albums to look through as opposed to maybe downloads or something like that, which I guess the albums are coming back, which is good, but I'm just old fashioned too, you know, with the way the industry used to be and the way they used to promote music, and you used to see posters of everybody in magazines, and they just really made a big deal about all these bands. And now it's kind of like, you know, you probably have to do a lot of the stuff on your own as far as promoting, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's PR teams you can hire and all that good stuff, but I mean, you know, the days of, you know, some record stores back in the day would, if the album came out, they would open at midnight, you know what I mean? And people would be in line to get that album when it first dropped. I mean, that part of the experience is obviously gone now, and it makes me a little bit sad. Cause I think some of the younger kids today, they completely miss that. So they don't realize how cool stuff like that is. And, you know, the emotions and stuff you feel anticipating that. And, you know, and also back in the day, they would release, if you bought the album, it would come with like a fold out poster or something cool in the insert, you know?
Yeah.
Can't really do that digitally.
Well, the album covers, you know, you would see the album cover and you'd get excited. Like you say, you'd wait, you'd be waiting for that day. And then you'd wait at the door till they opened. And also in the album, you know, I've been talking to people about it too. You know, when you open up the album sleeve or whatever, and the fold out, and it tells all the band members, it tells who wrote the songs, where it was recorded. And if you do it download, you don't get all the information. So a lot of the information, you don't see it unless you had an album or something tangible you could hold in your hand and go, I've got this album, you know?
Yeah. Whenever I upload our videos to YouTube, in the description, I always put all of those things for those of us that still care about that, you know?
Right.
And not only that, I would think if I were, you know, younger and either wanted to be in a band or was in a band, and I heard some stuff from another band and I was like, wow, that recording is great, that mix is awesome. I would want to know who did that so that I could try to get them to mix my stuff.
You know? Sure. For sure. Yeah. And I always like to do that as far as like the producers and the mix, the engineers, because you can go back on each album and go, ah, that sounds familiar. Or the songwriters, if you had a special songwriter come in and you go, aha, I knew that sounded, you know, familiar. Yep. Well, the name of your band is called Cold Words. Now, that's an interesting name. How did you come up with that name?
It started with when we decided to actually put a record out, because at first we were just writing stuff to break the COVID-19 lockdown boredoms, you know, me and my sons. So I started, before we had a name, it's really hard to come up with a band name because all the names are taken, all the cool names are taken, you know? Right. So you kind of got to create new things now to really have something that not 9,000 people already have. But I was coming up with what my concept of the album cover would be, which we ended up not using. And it was like a cold, dingy hospital ward with like a gurney and like some blood handprints in there. So I was like, ooh, that's a cold ward. So I was like, we should call the band Cold Wards, like hospital wards. But then, you know, there's another band called Cold Wars, and they've been around for a while. And I kind of just wanted something to be different. So I was like, well, what if we called it Cold Words, like tour words? And then I made up my own definition for it, which is a direction facing the cold. If you're facing the cold, you're facing cold words, you know? So that's kind of where that whole concept came in. And it's kind of unique. Nobody else really has that. And you know, like I said, you got to get extra creative this day when it comes to names.
Hey, that's a good one. I like it. I do like it. And I thought the same thing. Like, you know, if you're going eastwards, you would go that. It's the direction. Very good.
I like to say, like, you know, I'm here in Houston, and if in the wintertime, it's still pretty warm here. But if I'm facing, let's say, Detroit in the winter, I'm facing cold birds.
That's good. That's right. That's right, folks. A weatherman. The weatherman.
That's right.
That's great. That is good, though. I like that. I do like that. Okay, so you've got your band, and you've got your sons in the band. Now, how cool is it to have sons in the band? How did that come about?
It's very, very cool for a few reasons. One, most kids, for those of us who have kids, once they hit a certain age, they go through a phase of it's not cool to do stuff with your parents. You know what I mean?
Nope.
But eventually they come around from that. But so I'm just fortunate that they want to be in a band with their dad, you know. But like I said, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, me and my sons kind of just started writing songs together just for the fun of it. And then the songs were coming out good. So we were like, well, let's release an EP, a father-sons EP, just to say we did. And then that turned into 10 songs and all of that good stuff. So that's basically how it came about. And it was very well received. So we just said, let's run with it, man. Let's just release an album, you know? And here we are.
And that album, you released it. It'll be a year coming up this week, I think, that you released it. That was a very successful album for you, right?
Well, considering, you know, for a brand new band that no one's ever heard of, I think it's done very well, you know. And again, we actually started releasing singles from this album in 2021. But we did, like I told you, I think we released 5 singles, and then we dropped, because it's a 10-song album, so then we dropped the record after we released 5 singles to kind of help make sure that songs got their day, you know.
Right. Do your sons now, you're talking about, you know, kids, how they, you know, it ain't cool to be seen with your dad or go places, you know, but I mean, if your dad was a drummer of Saliva, do they ever listen to the music and go, okay, that's pretty cool? Or do they not want to admit it, you know, in front of their friends, you know, like, this is cool. I don't want to admit that this guy rocks. I mean, I know they're proud of you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously they, were around the music world from very young ages. I never like pushed music on them. They just naturally wanted to do it, I guess. So yeah, it's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool for sure.
Awesome. I know this is a different direction as far as musically, I guess, and than Saliva. I know when you left the band, why did you decide to leave Saliva and kind of do your own thing?
Several reasons. The main one is what I do full time for a living is I have an artist management company called PCM, Paul Crosby Management. That takes up a lot of time, to manage a bunch of other bands. And at the time, Saliva was just doing like sporadic shows, weekends and stuff like that. So it made a lot more sense. My management company has gotten much more successful since then. So then the band decided to start doing full blown tours again. And it kind of like, it was going to be a lot for me to digest, cause I was going to have to get up, run my management company all day and then do the show all night and, and not really have any time for my family or personal time. So that was one of the deciding factors. The other was, it kind of like wasn't really fun for me anymore. You know what I meant? I used to be excited when I would see all these tour dates pop up and I'd be like, I can't wait. And then I kind of got to a point to where I was burned out on being gone all the time. So I was kind of like, oh God, we got to go on the road, So it started kind of feeling like a job, it never felt like a job before, but once it did, it became quickly not fun, then added on that I had to, run my management company. And then also I wanted to spend more time with my family. I missed a lot of some of my kids growing up through my 22 some odd career with Saliva. And I kind of got to a point to, I have my two youngest are one's about to be 12. The other one just turned 13. And I was like, man, this is the last kids I'm going to have. I don't want to be gone and miss all that too. So it was really a lot of it came from the desire to be at home around family a lot more. And then on top of that, the band with the boys, I was like, I can still be in a band. I can be in a band with my family. I could run my management company, still have a personal life and still have family time. So it just kind of a bunch of circumstances all made sense, at one juncture. So I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
That does make a lot of sense. And I'm glad it worked out for you. At least, you had your time in the band. That's a pretty good length of time in the band. And you're still on good terms with those guys, right?
Absolutely. They're all my buddies, man. I love them to death. And we chat from time to time and no hard feelings anywhere. I'm happy for them. They're happy for me. So it's all good.
That's awesome. That's the way it should be. Yeah. And of course, you lost a good friend, Wayne Swinney, earlier this year. How was that to deal with? I know because you'd been with him for a long time, probably more than the other guys. And how did that affect you? And what have you thought about reflecting on your time with him?
Oh man, that was a rough one, man. Because like you said, me and him were in the band longer than anyone else. We chatted about this a while back ago. We collectively spent more time together than we did with actually ex-wives, kids, because we were, gone all the time. And me and him were the last two of, all the original guys. So yeah, that was rough, man. He was one of my best friends. Me and him were still extremely close whenever he passed away. We text almost every day, mainly about football stuff and sports and stuff. It's rough, man. I miss him to death. He was one of the most underrated guitar players ever and one of the best, most humble dudes. Wayne Sweeney did not even realize how he didn't look at himself as a celebrity or he was just a dude. He didn't, I don't think he thought he wasn't, you know, any better than anyone else. He was just a normal dude. And actually, our next single from this EP is going to be called, it is called Flatline, and it's about Wayne. So after Bad News runs its course, we'll release that. So, but yeah, that one's about Wayne. It's pretty deep.
I know that the fans will appreciate that. You know, your fans and Saliva fans and everybody will really appreciate that song. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Yeah. Your new single though, The Bad News, cool video. I was just watching that. Hey. Now, how did you come up with the idea for the video, and what's the song really about exactly?
The song is initially my son Zach wrote the lyrics to that song, and his concept for the song was the reason why he wrote it was about somebody that he was in a former musical project with. And that person basically, I guess, always tried to take credit for everything and tried to make Zach feel like without him, he wasn't anything. And it was all coming from him, basically. But recently I asked Zach to, for press purposes, to give me like a paragraph of what the general public, the listening public, what the song is about for them. And he said, I'll read it to you. He said, "Bad news is about losing touch with someone you care about when they've become surrounded by people that change them for the worse and become blinded by loyalty to people that will never reciprocate it."
Oh, wow.
So, and as far as the video concept, I wanted actually, I always wanted to do, and I know some other bands, big bands, and back in the day have done this, and we don't have the budget for that kind of stuff, but I always wanted to do a video on top of a skyscraper, you know what I mean? So I was like, man, we live in Houston. It's the fourth largest city in the U.S. Let's do that. Then, of course, you know, you got to get permits. It was going to just be a nightmare. So we did like the CGI thing, and then we couldn't get the CGI backgrounds for Houston, so we just used what we could get. But I mean, that was kind of my concept, was I want to do a video on top of a skyscraper. So since we couldn't do it for real, we just kind of mocked it up, you know?
Well, it worked. I mean, yeah. I liked it. I mean, it looks nice. I'm just saying, but it captures that idea though. Sad yeah. to say for me, I can relate to that song, you know, but you're talking about working with people, you know, sometimes in bands, you do hear stories of people taking advantage of you, or you fight, or you know, you're trying to work on a project, like you said. But that's got to be different when you're working with your sons, you know, I mean, right? You can actually get along and kind of, and they know that you've got experience. They know that you're there to help them out. You're not going to do them wrong. So right. That's got to be a reassuring thing for them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, they're amazing songwriters. And they've been playing music and recording themselves and stuff since they were little boys, but you know, they've never done it professionally like I have. So they rely a lot on me and trust my opinion on the things that we should do to, you know, try to make it receivable for the music listening public. You can't just write songs that just you like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I've had to have a few, you know, talks and explain my side of why we shouldn't do something this way or why this way doesn't work. And, you know, they said they trust my experience, and it's definitely much easier, you know, writing with my sons and stuff. So there's not a lot of bickering and not a lot of, you know, drama.
Sure. And you could ground them if they don't listen to you.
Right. That's right.
You're grounded, young man.
Well, they're grown men, so, but I mean, you know, I could threaten them.
You could threaten them. Got to listen to Dad. Listen to Dad. Well, I know that they listen to you in different projects, and they respect your wisdom there. But is there anything that you've learned from them since they're like a younger, you know, they're in the younger generation of hearing? They hear things differently. They do things, write things differently. They have a different perspective, which is good these days to have both sides. So, what have you learned from them that you could say, hey, I didn't really know that, but I appreciate that aspect or that view?
Yeah, the main thing is you know, they have a very good handle on what younger listeners, you know, are wanting to hear. They pay attention to what's hot out there. And, you know, they're a little bit more technical than, like, say, Saliva, as far as their writing. There's a lot more, you know, heavier riffs and stuff. So it actually is making me a better player because I'm having to, like, learn how to do more tight double bass kick patterns and stuff like that, and you know, and go bigger than I did with Saliva. So it's kind of reinvigorated me. Like, but before, I didn't really, I was kind of burned out, and now I'm kind of like fired up again, you know. But I will say this, if I weren't in this band with them, I probably would. I don't really want to be in another band, you know what I mean? I'm kind of like at that phase of my, at least now. That could all change later, but for now, that's the only band I want to be in.
So if Saliva or anybody like that ever said, "Do you want to rejoin?" Would that ever be a consideration? Or is that something you've already done, you don't want to do anymore?
Oh, I mean, I don't ever rule anything out later on down the road. Like I said, man, you know, this is just where I'm at now. I could be somewhere else later, but for right now, this is where I'm at, you know.
Yeah. And ain't that a that's a good feeling. It sure beats the pressure of having to go on the road, having to, do things and be away from your family. And when you kind of have control of that, it kind of relieves some stress, right? When you don't have to do all the things you used to. I know, I mean, it probably puts a smile on your face, right?
Absolutely. And you know, I needed some, I needed time from to work on myself as well. You know, my anxiety was getting really bad, and I'd recently, so I'm about 2 years and 6 months sober.
Awesome.
So, you know, it was there was a lot of emotions going on too with being gone with Saliva and all that. I needed to step away from that world just to get a grip on myself and smooth things out, you know, mentally for myself, work on my mental health and stuff. But I'm loving life, man.
That's great, man. That's real good. It's a different band. Like you said, you're playing drums differently. How do you approach now coming into a new band? How do you work on the drum parts? I know you said you kind of kicked it up a notch and kind of added some double bass. And so how do you approach that? Do you come up with ideas and go, I think I'll add this? And how does it feel doing something new? Like you said, you were burnt out before. How does it feel though to sit there and try to create something? I guess like you've never really done before. Is that's got to be fun to come up
I'll
with
say
that.
it's refreshing because, you know, with Saliva, for example, it's always kind of been the same kind of thing. So I didn't really have to put too much thought into it because it was kind of the same format, you know. And with the boys, it's much more challenging for me, which I like because I feel like I'm learning again. You know what I mean? I'm learning new things and becoming a better player and all that good stuff. So it's very refreshing, man.
So as far as recording, how do you decide, when you come together like to write songs? I guess what your sons are writing most of the lyrics, is that right? Or how does that work?
Yeah, on the first record, when we initially started this thing, I had a few songs written, which some of them are on the first record, lyrically, and then that's kind of how the whole thing came together. But right now, Zach does a lot of the lyric writing. Sean does some too. We all write. Sometimes I'll have a Like on Bad News, the little keyboard intro, I'll have just like something like that, send it to Sean. He'll take it, add guitars to it. We'll give it to Zach. He'll write lyrics. It works a bunch of different ways. Sometimes Zach has a completely, basically fully written song, but me and Sean will add some stuff to it. Sometimes Sean has a written song. Sometimes I do. And sometimes one of us will have just a little snippet of something and send it to the others, and it just works, you know. We all just add our own little thing to it and it morphs into a song.
Awesome. Now, I know that you grew up in Memphis, the Memphis area, right?
for a lot of my adult life, yeah.
Well, so I know the music, your musical influences, there's so many in that area. Of course, Elvis.
No, yeah.
What, who are some of your influences when you were growing up, and how they get you into music?
Well, first of all, Elvis is definitely I will just say I don't know about Elvis being an influence, but I'm definitely a huge Elvis fan. One of my daughters is named Presley Aaron Crosby, so that should tell you right there.
There you go.
But as far as when I was a kid, what made me want to play rock and heavy metal music, and who influenced me on drums, it was bands like Iron Maiden, Metallica, Slayer, Motley Crue. Like, I'm a product of the 80s, you know, so I grew up in the 80s, and I would just put on Metallica. I meant was a huge influence on me. In fact, before I heard the Master of Puppets album, I wasn't really into rock. I have three older brothers, and they were all into, from the when I was little, they were all into rock and metal, and I never clicked onto it. I never liked it. But I was into skateboarding, and one of my friends put in the Metallica Master of Puppets cassette like the day it got released, and that changed everything for me. So I definitely would say I'm huge Metallica fan from way back. But like I said, any of the good bands from the 80s were huge influences on me. And then even into the 90s, the grunge like Alice in Chains, you know, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, and I'm still, even to this day, you know, even some of the newer bands, Falling in Reverse, I'm a huge fan of. My Chemical Romance, they were a huge influence on me. I'm just a music lover in general, you know.
Yeah, me too. Same here. Yeah, I grew up in the 80s too, and but that's a di it's cool though when you take all those influences and they come out and you're playing. You know, do you ever find yourself playing and you go, yeah, that sounds like, you know, Van Halen or something? I mean, because I noticed that in a lot of people that grew up during those times, they may not know it, but you can definitely hear it in the music. Such a good time for music though, right?
Absolutely, the best times. And you know, it's definitely hard to not have some of your influences seep out. And it's you and it's 9 times out of 10 completely unintentional, you know. And even with Cold Words as a whole, you can definitely hear some of all of our influences in there. And we're not setting out to do that. It's just that's kind of what we, you know, what we were into and kind of what influences us. So
You're talking about the songs. You mentioned a couple about what the songs are about on the new EP, but are there other songs that you've written that are kind of reflective of your life and some of the stuff you've gone through? And is it easy to write when it comes to that?
yeah, I mean, I would honestly say at least most of every Cold Word songs is about something one of us went through personally. All of our stuff is completely real and from the heart. Even like to the next single that's going to come out, Flatline, it's about Wayne Swinney. And I mean, our lyrics are definitely all about stuff that we've gone through personally, but we try to adapt them to where anybody hearing the song can relate to it and make it feel like it's also about what they've gone through.
Right. And I guess that's what it's all about, you know, especially when you're playing, you know, if you're playing live, you know, that's got to be a great experience to play with your sons on stage, right? To
Oh
look
yeah.
around and see your sons jamming out to
It's
songs
pretty
that you
epic.
wrote, right?
It's pretty awesome, man. Yeah, I got pictures on my desktop from when we, you know, did our we've done two shows so far. One of them was at a festival open up for about five nationals. And there's a couple of cool shots some people have sent me of just like me and my sons and stuff. It's great though, you know, everyone, all five people in this band are definitely, you know, super important parts of this band. But as a father, it's super cool to see that, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. But when you started playing drums, when you were younger, I guess.
Yeah.
How did it come to you? Did you play on pots and pans? Did you have a little rhythm you're playing on, beating on a desk or something at school? I mean, did you ever do that? And how did you know that you were going to be a drummer?
Well, my speaking of pots and pans, I actually have a picture of my oldest son Sean when he was probably 8 months old, and it's me holding him with some spoons beating on some pots and pans. So it's pretty cool to look at. My parents adopted one of my brothers. He was probably, man, he had to have been around 12 or 13 at the time. He was older. And he was always air drumming. I looked up to him like for like really big time. And I thought he was the coolest thing since sliced bread, man. And he was always like air drumming and stuff, you know. And I just, that kind of started, you know, doing that because of him air drumming. That's kind of what got my interest in, like, you know, in drumming. So then I started asking my parents for, you know, a drum set for Christmas and stuff. And it took me a couple of years of asking before they finally relented and got me a drum set. They would get me like instruments that you could control the volume on, like electric guitar, piano, keyboard, you know, stuff that you could turn down. Finally, I wasn't giving up, so they had to relent and give me a drum set.
I've been there myself playing. You know, you forget, though, you'll be playing in the middle of the night and you forget it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Neighbors are like, shut up. But but that's part of it, though. That had to be fun to grow up and be playing and having that joy of playing. How old were you when you really first got into like a band? What was your first band?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, probably within a couple of years after I started playing the drums, because I didn't really have anybody to teach me. You know, I had other friends that one played guitar. We'd get together in the bedroom and jam. In our heads, that was a band, but it really wasn't. I think I was probably maybe 13 when I got in my first band that like had a rehearsal room and a band name. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was pretty cool. Complete cover band. Like we weren't playing originals or anything like that. It was a blast though. We practiced in a mini storage, you know, with the roll up door, and we didn't ever really, that band didn't ever do like shows, but we would have like kind of get togethers at the jam room and, you know, 50 people and we'd play. So it was kind of a show. That's kind of where it all started.
Do any of those guys, you ever talk to any of those from back in the day, and they see where you're at now and they're like, man, you've come a long way.
Yeah. One of them I actually am still in touch with. And he actually, a few years back, he lives in Florida now. And a few years back, he came to one of my shows. We reminisced about the old times. It was pretty cool.
That's cool. That is cool. Wow. Now, as far as your shows, what shows have you got lined up coming up soon that you can talk about?
Right now, we don't have anything on the books because we're focusing on getting these videos and everything lined up for the EP release. But we're planning on doing a couple of shows later this year. And then our main focus is to work on festivals and a bunch of stuff for 2024 to support the EP release. But I mean, that's basically where we're at.
And that EP is coming out when next year?
Spring? We don't have an exact release date because we're going to, like I said, we're going to release several singles. And how we're going to do it is, instead of going, we're going to do a new single every 2 months or every 6 weeks, we're going to release a single like Bad News. And we're just going to watch its trajectory. And whenever it starts coming back down the other side, then we're going to set up a new release. So doing it that way, it's kind of hard to pick an actual release date, but it's safe to say it will be sometime in probably mid to late spring 2024 before we drop the actual full EP.
Awesome. And have you got a lot of songs written that you've done that maybe you could do some on another EP or album, or are you writing specifically for this EP?
No, we have probably two more EPs worth of stuff already written. We have a folder in our Dropbox that's probably 15, 17 songs deep now. And a lot of times we'll be like, all right, this is the song that we're going to release as a single. And then sometime shortly after that, we write a song that we feel is even better than that one. So we just throw that in the folder and release the newly written song. So we have a bunch of songs in the back catalog for sure.
Awesome. And is that something that you find that you're constantly doing? I see you're in the music room there.
Yeah.
So is that something as an artist myself, I know the creativity has to come out. You got to do something. Is that something you find yourself always playing, always writing, always doing something musically because it's just within you?
Yeah, constantly. And it's not what I do. It's who I am. You know what I mean? I can't not do it. You know what I mean? And then also, as I mentioned, I have my band management company, and some of the bands I work with, like, they don't have a drummer, so I'm actually playing drums on there. I'm always trying to play wherever I can, you know what I mean? Wow. So it's pretty cool. It's never ending. Music is definitely my life, you know. I'm fortunate enough to be able to make a living doing it, but even if I couldn't make a dollar, I'd still be doing it because I don't have a choice.
Sure. What's the name of your management company?
It's called PCM, which stands for Paul Crosby Management.
And so do they come to you a lot of times when they're doing that? Do people, they reach out to you? How do they contact you and things like that?
Well, I used to, when I first started doing it about 5-6 years ago, I would actually actively be looking for bands that I wanted to work with. Like on Reverb Nation or just social media, I would see new bands and I would go check their stuff out. And it didn't really matter if they had 100,000 followers. It was, is the music good? Can I relate to this? But now, I basically just get work with bands that are recommended to me by either past or present clients. Seems to be a lot easier that way. But I still do get submissions on, I have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Paul Crosby Management. And on there is also my email for submissions and stuff too. So bands do submit all of the time. So, and I'm definitely, if the right band were to come along, I'm definitely open to, you know, potentially working with one of them. But for the most part, I get new clients by recommendations from clients, like I said, I've worked with in the past or in the present, and it tends to help vet them easier for me, because if they're coming recommended, then I know they're probably not drama. They're probably serious. You know, unfortunately in the music world, when with bands, there's a lot of drama and a lot of ego and a lot of stuff that, you know, I prefer not to deal with.
Well, have you seen some of the guys that you've been managing? Have you seen the progression of them as they've gone on and gotten better? And have you kind of witnessed the growth of these bands and kind of made you smile knowing that you helped them out?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a band that I work with. It's called Silent Theory. They started with me almost 5 years ago, and now, you know, we've had several record label offers, and then they signed last year with 1RPM. They got a huge record deal, and, you know, they're doing big stuff. And actually their current single is called Just My Luck, and we got Josie Scott, the original singer of Saliva, to do a feature vocal on it. That's doing well. I think it's number 11 on the charts right now. So, wow. And there's several other bands I've worked with that have gotten record deals, booking agent deals, stuff like that. Obviously not everyone you work with is going to, you know, make it that far, but it's just kind of like in sports, you know, if you're a high school football star and you get lucky enough to make it to college, it don't mean you're going to make it in the NFL, you know? Right. So it's the same with music. But I definitely love watching the progression. It's my new passion. I've accomplished all of my goals in music. Well, now I have a new one. I want my band with my sons to blow up, but if not, whatever. But my new passion is I want to be a successful band manager. I want some bands I work with to take off and I can go, I help to do that.
Yeah. Well, I see it happening. I could see it happening. But that, when you have a lot of stuff going on, and that probably keeps you positive on every project that you do. When you got 20 something years in saliva, you're working with your sons, you're managing. When you see all these things taking off, it's got to boost your level of confidence and make you feel good about everything you do. It probably just makes you keep going up and up, right?
It makes me want more of it. Yeah. And I stay very, very grounded. There's no ego about it. There's no flaunting. Definitely proud of accomplishments. And I like to share those, but I don't, I try to stay humble and grounded. You know what I mean? So just take the ride.
Well, that's what keeps you successful, I believe. And we'll tell everybody how they can reach you as far as the band and everything like that, the website.
We have, first of all, the band name, even though it's Cold Words, it's spelled Coldwards. And we have coldwords.com. We have facebook.com/coldwords, Instagram at Coldword Music, Coldwords Music. If you go to our website, coldwords.com, it also has the tabs where you can click and find us on any social media, our YouTube channel. Check that out. I think we now have six videos on there, five singles from the last record, and then the current single, Bad News. Pretty easy to find, man. We're the only Cold Words out there. So at this point.
Well, awesome. Well, I appreciate you talking with me today, and great music, man. I mean, it really is, and so cool that you're working with your sons. You're sober, you're having a great time managing, and it looks like you're going to keep doing it. And I'm proud of you, and thanks for talking to me today.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me. It means a lot.
All righty. Well, you have a good day.
You too, brother.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to another episode of Real Music. I appreciate you. If you'd like to donate to this podcast, you can do so by clicking on the donate button. You can leave comments or questions. You can record your comments anytime on the app. And I appreciate those. And until next time, always remember to keep the music real.